This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Bored of too many ads and dull, meaningless chat? We've got neither. Joy Drive, smart, fun radio.
Joy Drive family, how did you sleep last night? Did you get enough? Did you feel refreshed when you woke up this morning? The reason I'm asking is that a recent study has found that not getting enough sleep can increase our risk of type 2 diabetes. Shannon Lin is a senior lecturer from the School of Public Health, and Juliana Murfitt is the academic from the Faculty of Health, both from the University of Technology in Sydney. Shannon and Juliana, welcome to Joy Drive.
Welcome to you as well.
Before we talk about sleep, for those who don't know, what is type 2 diabetes and how does it differ from type 1?
This is when we have to decide who speaks first. But so type 2 diabetes is more a genetic type condition that's passed on through families. It's more likely to be related to excessive weight that might be carried around certain parts of the body that can cause insulin resistance, which is a hormone that we use that normally would carry our sugar from our bloodstream into our muscles to feed it. And when that's not working so well, then the sugar increases in the bloodstream that then becomes type 2 diabetes.
So how does sleep, I suppose, impact our ability for insulin to process glucose?
Sure. So when people don't get enough sleep, their bodies start to struggle with regulating blood sugar levels properly. And studies suggest that this happens because a lack of sleep increases a number of things, including inflammation and fatty acids in the blood, which in a sense mess around with how sensitive our cells are to insulin, which is that hormone that I mentioned that moves the sugar from our blood into the muscles.
Shannon, maybe tell us about the study itself. What did it find?
That's a really good question. Thank you for asking. So what do we actually look at is actually the paper we look at, it actually examined the links between sleep duration and the risk of developing type 2 diabetes. The research actually look at the data from the UK Biobank of over 250,000 adults and tracking their health outcome for over a decade. And the study actually found the individual who slept less than 6 hours per night actually had an increasing risk of developing type 2 diabetes as compared to those who actually slept 7 to 8 hours every night.
How significant is the risk if you don't get the 6 hours sleep?
That's another really interesting question. And the research actually show that people who actually slept actually less than 6 hours, they're actually increasing the risk of sleeping around 5 hours, got a 16% of increase of type 2 diabetes. And it is actually very significant when they actually slept between 3 to 4 hours because the risk actually increased by 41%.
Oh, wow, that's a significant amount. Can we average our sleep out for the week, let's say, you know, so that it does, you know, we do get greater than if we totaled it up 6 hours every night? Or is it specifically you must get at least 6 hours per night?
It's actually more than that. So you actually need to get between 7 and 8 hours of sleep per night.
Ah.
No, you can't average it out over the week. It does need to actually be every night and preferably during the dark hours. And that's because when we don't sleep during those hours and not adequately, we muck up a lot of our metabolic pathways in our body. We disrupt them. Again, they don't allow our body to use the energy as well as it should be, and therefore the sugar seems to stay left within the bloodstream. It doesn't help us to metabolize our carbohydrates well. It doesn't fit in with our natural circadian rhythm, which is, you know, our body likes to or should like to be up when the sun's up and be resting when the sun is down, basically. And what normally happens is as the day progresses, our ability to regulate glucose levels actually starts to diminish, and that's why it's really important that people are sleeping during the dark hours.
Are we talking about like a particular time frame? We all have nights where we don't necessarily get enough sleep for whatever reason. Maybe we're thinking too much. Maybe we went out and had a bit of a late night. Does it matter if it's an occasional night out or late night?
I'm not sure. I mean, the study certainly didn't go into sort of that sort of level of detail. But certainly chronic sleep loss is common in our modern society. That seems to be always awake. And with more people doing sort of, work-life balances, it means that more people are working at very different hours of the day and night. And social media also means that it keeps people up a bit more longer than traditionally and keeps their minds quite active overnight as well. So there are many things that impact chronic sleep. But the outcomes of this study, looking at quite a large number of people over a long period of time, clearly showed that when people were not getting adequate sleep, their risk of diabetes actually increased. But I was just going to say, another thing that was interesting though is, sorry, go on, Shannon.
No, I just want to add on to your response that actually the preferred time for sleep is actually from 9 o'clock at night till 6 o'clock in the morning. So that would be the best time frame for sleep. And I think it just adding on to the study that we looked at, they really find there's a U-shape association between the sleep duration and the risk of diabetes for people actually sleeping less than 7 hours or they're sleeping more than 8 hours.
So if we go to bed, the optimum time to, I suppose, minimise the risk of developing diabetes through lack of sleep is to go to bed at 9 p.m. and sleep through until 6 a.m. So if you, let's say you go to bed at 11 and get up at, 7 or something like that, does that increase the risk then because it's a little bit later but you still get the sufficient hours? Right.
Mm-hmm.
So we can't conclude that from it. What about when we talk about, we hear about healthy eating and how important that is in terms of preventing or minimising the risk of developing type 2 diabetes. What's worse, eating something like ultra-processed foods or not getting enough sleep, or do they both really contribute significantly?
Thank you for asking that question. So the key points from this research actually shows that they actually categorize the participants' diet from 0 to 5, and 5 being really healthy and 0 being not healthy at all. And based on the consumption of, less than 2 serves of red meat, less than 2 serves of processed meat, or 2 or more serves of fruits, and 4 or more tablespoons of vegetables and or 2 or more serves of fish. So they only actually categorize the diet just based on those key food groups. So they actually suggest that even though you could be eating healthy, but if you not sleep well and not sleep enough, you still got to increase the risk of type 2 diabetes. And definitely because the diet that they look at really limits, the conclusion they actually made between sleep and healthy eating, just because they actually lack of information, they're not looking at some of the popular diet which actually can offset or reduce the risk of type 2 diabetes, such as intermittent fasting, higher protein, lower carb diet, or plant-based diet, and etc. So the authors of their study actually acknowledge these as one of the limitations for the study, and things they actually suggested there should be future study to looking into the more details.
So what we can conclude, therefore, is we need to get at least 7 or 8 hours sleep a night in order to reduce our risk of developing type 2 diabetes. Is that fair enough?
Absolutely.
It is, in a while. Maintaining a healthy lifestyle, that's including exercise, healthy eating, that's all going to help as well.
Shannon and Juliana, I'm going to go to bed 9 o'clock tonight.
One of the other things they mentioned just very quickly was they did suggest that, sometimes people can't always get their 8 hours of sleep. So one of the ways of actually balancing that off is in actual fact to ensure that people do exercise through the day. And what they found was in actual fact was interval training was the best type of exercise to sort of reduce that risk as well. But yes, early to bed.
We've got 3 things. Interval training, get a good night's sleep, and eat healthy, and that'll reduce our risk. I absolutely love it. Thank you so much for joining us on Drive today.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
Thank you, Laura.
Thank you. Shannon Lynn, Senior Lecturer from the School of Public Health, and Juliana Murfett, Academic from the Faculty of Health from the University of Technology, Sydney. There we go.
Joy Drive on Joy 94.9 FM in Melbourne, Joy on your digital radio, iHeartRadio, TuneIn.com or the Joy app, no matter where you are.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.